Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to KRFY's Morning Show. This is the Garden Life Edition, and I'm your host, Julie Prochinski, and I'm here in the studio this morning with Julie Calamine. Good morning, Julie.
Hey, good morning, Julie.
How you doing this morning?
Really fine. Well, how could we not be doing
well? Oh, my
gosh. Spring.
So beautiful. Almost summer.
It feels like it. It really does.
Today, we're going to talk about one of my favorite topics. We've got Robin Campbell and John Hastings here in the studio with Kinnickinnick Native Plant Society, and welcome to you two as well.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
But first, Julie, we should talk about the weather.
Yeah, Julie, we often do talk about the weather, but for the Garden Life Show, we have to talk about the weather. Anyway, folks, it is a good week for Sandpoint because it looks like sunny, mostly sunny, partly sunny, etc. So anyway, we're looking at highs today in the mid-70s. Lows are now above freezing in the 40s. High tomorrow is going to be 66, or Thursday, will be 66. Wednesday will be 75. Still, all of our lows are above freezing, which is really good news for us gardeners and folks that like to get out early. And then look forward to a high of 81 on Saturday.
Ooh.
That is summer weather.
That does sound great.
Yeah, so that's about it.
Summer. Last night, the last cold night, maybe?
Let's hope so. Get out the tomatoes.
They're ready to go in, that's for sure.
That's right.
So back to our show today, Native Plants in the Garden. And here with us are Robin Campbell and John Hastings with the Kinnickinnick Plant Society. And thank you both for coming in. And let's begin by, John, introduce yourself and tell us what you like about why you're involved with this native plant group.
Sure. I'm a retired teacher, taught horticulture, forestry, things like that. Environmental science, and then my wife Nancy and I, we own All Seasons Garden Center out in Kootenai, so we're deeply enmeshed in the gardening community, if you will. From the ecological standpoint of that, both my training and what I was teaching, I've always had an appreciation for native landscapes, and therefore trying to incorporate native plants into residential landscapes and other situations like that. And that's part of what the Kinnickinnick Native Plant Society does.
Mm-hmm. And Robin, introduce yourself as well.
Well, my name is Robin Campbell. I moved to Sandpoint about 23, 24 years ago. I've had an interest in native plants most of my life. Haven't always exercised it other than being out hiking and loving to see them and learning the names of them and things like that. But a number of years ago, I started a landscaping project at my house, and I thought, oh, I need to join the Native Plant Society. So I did. And it's been an interesting and a fun thing to do. And I've been active and served on the board and things
like
that.
Speaking of a fun thing to do, you've got a jam-packed calendar this summer. And that's really why we're here today. People are familiar with the Native Plant Society because you have so many events happening. Let's just take a quick overlook of what's going on with Kinnickinnick throughout the summer. You have outreach to the community with the kids?
We have a number of outreach programs to kids. One of the things we do that's not necessarily public, but we partner with the schools and we bring third graders to the Arboretum for we call it the tree tours. And they come in little groups and you have a little group at a station where you have a couple of trees and it's your job to explain to them about these two trees, show them the difference, help them learn to identify them, and then they move to the next group. And
yes,
we run about 250 kids through the Arboretum over a three-day period with our tree tours. And then later, a little later in the summer, end of June and July, we do events on Tuesdays. It's called Tree Cookie Tuesdays, and they're kind of those tend to be about insects that are an important part of the cycle with plants and how they integrate and how they support each other, and so that's always a fun thing. We also have our programs. Our programs kind of stop in the summer. Our last program will be June, but we do. I'm drawing a blank. Our plant sale is coming up. We do our native plant sale.
Yes.
And it'll be the first Saturday in June. We'll talk more about that later.
Yes, we'll get into the specific details. And you were mentioning the monthly programs, too, that are available at the library or at Zoom. And we'll get into what's coming up there as well, because you've got so much happening. But maybe we should back up and start at the beginning. What is the Kinnick Native Plant Society? I mean, what is the mission?
Well, the mission of the Native Plant Society is people join for different reasons. People get involved, even if they don't join for different reasons. But it is to preserve native plants and their habitats. Educating people about native plants would be another goal of the organization. And we will sometimes work with folks through the programs that we offer, through the education that we do, just to bring a greater understanding of native plants and encourage their use. We also try to work with any other organization that is trying to preserve native landscapes. We do get involved sometimes when we see there's projects going on that may be involved in sensitive habitat. Mm-hmm. And we, as an organization, will lend our voice to say, can we modify this project? What can we do to preserve this sensitive landscape that it looks like there might be some sort of project going in? So we get involved in those sorts of things too, both the public outreach and then some of the other missions that we need to do in order to help preserve native landscapes.
And the Arboretum. Let's talk about the Arboretum. That's your showcase over there.
The Arboretum is kind of our crown jewel.
Yes, it is.
Many years ago, I think it was 1998, Lois Wythe, who was a local native local person, not a native Idahoan, I don't think, but she got this brilliant idea to start the Native Plant Society, and out of that grew the Arboretum, which we work with the city of Sandpoint. The Arboretum is located in in Lakeview Park there, and fortunately, it already had a number of gorgeous native trees, but we've worked to add an understory of native plants. Many of them are identified. It's a wonderful place to walk through. It's peaceful, it's quiet, it's meditative, it's beautiful. It's an all-volunteer effort. We maintain it. We have work parties on a regular basis and keep it available to the public 24/7.
That's a great, great spot out there. And that's where you have the tree cookies and the kid groups. And
right.
You use that as your classroom.
Right. We use it as our outdoor classroom.
And I'll just add to that, too, that Lakeview Park is going to be going through a rather major renovation. And a renovation of the Arboretum will be a part of that. So we've been actively working on coming up with new signage. Some of the signage that is there will remain, but a lot of new signage that's a little more interactive will be coming along with that. So it's a great place to learn the names of native plants, to see what their natural habitats they like to grow in. There also is one section, too, I don't know how well it's being maintained, that was not native plants, but it was medicinal plants. Some were native, some were not. But that was one of Lois Wise's
passions. I was going to say, that's Lois's influence.
It's also a great place to go if you go to the native to the Arboretum and you see a plant and you see the name of it, then when you're out hiking and you see that plant in the wild, you'll know what it is.
That's right. Impress your friends.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the definition of a native plant? How would you define it?
Do we have until noon?
The short version, John.
The short version, I guess, yes, is that it is just a plant that was found here prior to colonization of the continent.
Any other introductions then?
Correct.
Yes.
And then we actually had a whole Saturday program on this very topic a couple months ago, because now that, you know, it used to be it was either just a native plant or it wasn't. But because there has been this increase in native plants, we now see a lot of native plants that are being selectively bred or that are being just a selected cultivar. And so there's all sorts of different levels of what people will accept as a native plant.
Mm-hmm.
Does it have to be the wild thing, or can it be one of these cultivars, or can it be a hybrid? And you can get deep into the woods and weeds into that if you really want to.
I take it there's no answer to that question then.
Well, that, like I said, the short answer is that it was some sort of plant that was here prior to colonization.
Okay.
Well, and prior to colonization, I think the common definition I think of is prior to the Lewis and Clark expedition coming through in 1803 to 1806, many of the plants out here that they discovered bear their names. Like if you look at the scientific name, one of them might be something or other Clarkii or something or other Lewisii. So their journals are full of these references to these new plants that they found.
Oh, man, what a treasure trove they came upon.
And the number is about 200. There's about 200 plants that somehow connected to that expedition. Philadelphia is another one they use because that's where they originated the expedition from. So there's a lot of, and there's a couple named after the political leaders at the time who were financing this. That's interesting.
And of course, Douglas added his name to a lot of plants later on. But I hate to open Pandora's box here, but there's also maybe the question of native plants that were native in a different part of the country, but have been planted in the West. And are they still considered natives here?
Well, that a lot of those are things you'll find in the medicinal garden. You know, that people brought either their favorite flowers or
comfrey.
And they're not really considered native here. They have naturalized for sure. Mm-hmm. And some of them do well. Some of them are very aggressive and have become weeds. And
yes, St. John's wort comes to mind.
Mm-hmm. And natives aren't necessarily aggressive and invasive.
Well, they have very specific microclimates mm-hmm. that they grow in, so they tend to stay in those areas. So it's the ones that have been brought in that are really can be a problem mostly.
And native plants can be aggressive. You have to be careful where you plant certain plants. They will spread. Spireas will spread. Equisetum will spread very aggressively. So just that it's native doesn't mean it's going to be well-behaved.
I stand correct.
Right. And I would like to get back to what Julie was asking earlier, too, about if a plant was native to the continent, or again, it's regionally native, locally mm-hmm. native. Some people will be very, very specific. I mean, it better have been Bonner County if we want to call it a native plant. Others will say Idaho. Others will say the Pacific Northwest. And so you can define for yourself what you think that native should be. And you can find a great, resources for what plants were native to Bonner County. Now, it's kind of interesting when you look at the USDA map for that. It will say the plant was native in Benoit County and was native in Boundary County, but was not native to Bonner County. That's not very likely. If it was found to our north and to our south, it was probably here. Mm-hmm. Nobody just never had seen it before.
Right.
And of course, the other big caveat that goes along with that, and we see this with some, there's a lot of restoration biology going on now, trying to heal damaged landscapes. And one of the things that they do look for native species, but they will also look for seed sources from places further south. Mm. And that is because as the climate is changing, is it appropriate to use the plants that evolved and adapted to live in this climate or the climate that is coming? And so we see both of those.
Wow. Deep dive.
Yes. Well, we don't have until noon, so I guess we better, though it's intriguing, we should probably move on.
Since we're still talking about native plant uses, explain to me why there's a whole club dedicated to native plants. What are the benefits of having them in your garden?
You got another 2 hours?
Oh, no.
Well, as John mentioned, because the plants that are native here evolved here, they work in synchronicity with our soil type, with our climate, with the flora and fauna and the insects. There are these intricate relationships between the plants and the insects and all parts of the ecosystem. So they're ideally suited and adapted to grow here and to be here. The other thing is that natives, because they're so well adapted, in a landscape, they generally, once they're established, require less maintenance.
Mm-hmm. Less water.
They're used to the water that we have mm-hmm. that comes naturally. They're used to the heat and cold and all of those things. They send their roots down deep into the soil for the most part, deeper than a lot of the others that you might bring in, which brings up nutrients and helps stabilize the soil and helps water retention. So that's one reason they don't need as much water. They've got these deep roots. They're beautiful. They just add so much. And let me say, if you're doing a landscape and you want to do some natives, you don't have to plant all natives. I mean, they do mix with the others.
Sure.
And if you've got some of grandma's favorite peonies and you want to have a patch of peonies in your garden, that's great. But the natives help to bring the local pollinators in, so that if you've also got a vegetable garden, your squash plants are going to mm-hmm. get pollinated better. If you've got a little orchard, maybe a fruit tree or two, your fruit trees are going to be pollinated better and they're going to produce more. So those are some of the benefits. John, you've got some.
Well, the other thing I would add to that is the whole food chain concept of things. And that is, it's just that if our local insects, predominantly the invertebrates, they are looking for sometimes very specific foods, like only one plant
mm-hmm.
Sort of thing. And if they don't have that, that insect goes away. Now, the average homeowner might say, oh, good, less insects. But the average homeowner also says, oh, I love to see the birds in my backyard at my bird feeder. Well, if we don't have native plants to support native food change, which involves insects, we will not have the birds that feed upon those insects. And so they, as we see more natural habitats being taken away for human encroachment, if we take those same plants that used to be in those native habitats and then put them where we're building our homes, now we have not eliminated that.
Mm-hmm.
We have not eliminated that.
Brought it back.
Yep, we brought that back. We will still see insects there. Now, again, that means, are they feeding on your plants? Yes, but to a tolerable level, and a level that those plants evolved with, if you will. One of a great example, not involving insects, but we sell a whole lot of red twig dogwood, lovely little shrub. And people will say, how come the ones I have in my yard don't look as nice as the ones I see in the woods? Well, that's because the ones in the woods are constantly being pruned and groomed by the deer mm-hmm. and other things that mm-hmm. like to eat them, so they look better when they have been pruned by the fauna of the area. So by having some native landscapes, you're having a more holistic ecosystem. You're having food chains that are remaining intact, and because of that, then we get to see those birds and other animals that we like to see, even if we don't like to see the little creepy crawlers going around on our leaves.
Well, we like apples. So that's what we need for our apples. That brings to mind that you probably shouldn't be spraying if you have a native plant. You be careful with your insects, careful with everything coming in, and that you really don't have as many pest problems with native plants. Would you say that's correct?
Sometimes. Not always. Uh-huh. And that's one of the downside too. There's a whole bunch of non-native plants that you'll actually even see that in the description. It will say relatively pest free. You can translate that as not part of the food chain.
Oh.
So there are non-native plants that will be completely maintenance free. That's not a good thing from mm-hmm. an ecological standpoint.
Oh, okay.
From an ecological standpoint.
Sure. That makes sense. So, Julie, what do you think about should we do a quick break, and then we're going to come back to this full calendar of what's coming up with the Kinnick Native Plant Society all summer long, and we'll be back with Robin Campbell and John Hastings in just a minute, and Julie's got a song for us.
I sure do, and for those of you who have just joined us, this is KRFY Community Radio for the Idaho Panhandle. If you've just tuned in the last few minutes, you should know that you can go online to krfy.org and you'll be able to find a recorded version, a podcast of this interview later today. So
you
can always back up and hear the whole darn thing. All right. And Julie, I like the song that you picked. It's Brandi Carlile with Emmylou Harris, and it is Take Me Home Country Roads, their version.
And we're back. This is Garden Life on KRFY, and I'm Julie Pretensky here with Julie Calamine and the Kinnickinnick Plant Society volunteers, John Hastings and Robin Campbell. One thing we didn't mention earlier about your native plant group is how you're organized. You have all these committees, and these committees all oversee these events that you have all summer long. So starting with the plant sale, Robin, let's just go through the events and what's happening and where they're happening at.
Well, the plant sale is our big one every summer. We coordinate with Cedar Mountain Perennials, which is a little nursery down in Athol that grows native plants. They also grow some, well, it depends on, as John said, how you define natives. They do grow some plants that come from other areas that will do well here, but they really focus on plants that are as close, that are close to native, if not actually native right here. So every year they provide plants for us, and we cooperate with them to do this plant sale. It's a much anticipated event. It's going to be this year on Saturday,
June 7th.
Right, June 7th. And it starts at 9 o'clock and goes till noon. And if you're serious about a good selection of native plants, be there at 9 o'clock.
Because, come early.
Earlier than nine, because we're busy setting up. But be there at nine, and you'll have a wonderful selection of native plants. It's held at the Arboretum, kind of behind the parking lot there off of Ellis Street in Lakeview Park, between the Arboretum and the museum, the History Museum. It also happens to coordinate with the museum's first free Saturday. Yeah. Every first Saturday of the month, the museum does open for no admission. You can come in and see all their exhibits for free. You can purchase the native plants. There will also be some yard art. We also, native plant members are all good bakers, mm-hmm. and we provide a table full of yummy, yummy baked goods and coffee, and it's by donation. So come look through the plants, grab a snack, and help us out. The other, we will also this year have a couple of other organizations that are involved with related activities. The Master Naturalists will have a table, and the Mighty Monarch people will have a table. And the Master Naturalists, if you've got questions about your yard and plants, not only the people from Cedar Mountains, and John will be there probably. Nope, not this year. Okay. there are lots of people there who can help answer questions about your yard. You know, shady plants that go in shady areas, plants that go in moist areas, sunny areas, different soil types, all those kinds of things. So it's a...
Yes, and I'll interject that that's really very important, because native plants know where they want to live. And if they're not in the right spot, they're not necessarily going to flourish.
That's right. Some of them are very picky.
Yes.
So it helps right place, right plant.
And there was a kids event I saw on your webpage.
Right. In conjunction with the museum, we are doing a little kids activity. And I believe that's going to follow the museum hours, which are 10 to 1. So if the kids come, we're going to have little clay pots that they can paint, and then All Seasons is donating little flower seedlings that they can plant in their little pot and take it home.
Boy.
So bring the kids, come, go through, look through the plants, pick out the ones that are going to work in your yard, ask your gardening questions. It's always a really fun event.
Yes,
so
it
that's
is.
Saturday, June 7th from 9 to noon.
Great. That'll be great. Next, let's talk about the monthly programs. This is something that goes on all winter long, and I saw that our very own Phil Huff was the April. He presented at the April meeting, and you have it for the next 2 months. Give us a little details about that.
And that April meeting, I can't remember if they recorded it. Now, many of our meetings are... you can watch them live on Zoom, or you can go to our YouTube channel, Native Plant Society, and a lot of them, the ones that we've recorded are archived there, so you can always catch them there.
So,
well, I will just mention too that if you Google search Kinnickinnick Native Plant Society, you will probably be the first thing that pops up. Oh, the web address is nativeplantsociety.org. Doesn't have the Kinnickinnick part in it, but nativeplantsociety.org.
Okay.
We should say that a few times so people know how to find it.
Yes, we should.
Yes, and our website has a lot of really great information on it. You can sign up to receive program and event announcements. You can become a member, make a donation. We have a lot of archived native plant information, as well as access to our programs that have been recorded.
And a calendar
and
upcoming
events. Well, there's, notifications of all upcoming events. You can find things out there, so it's really great. So our May program, John, you want to talk about that one?
Well, I sure could. I was just going to look here and see. It is Adam Gebauer, who is the Public Lands Program Director for the Lands Council out of Spokane. And he's going to be talking about a collaborative approach to restoring forest health and fire regimes. Fire was just, such a, talking about native plants, that was, many of these plants evolved with fairly periodic fires. Oh, and when you look at some of our forests around here, ponderosa pine is a great example. The natural spacing for ponderosa pine used to be about 200 feet between trees. And that's because there wasn't enough water to support density greater than that. And so when we look at our forests now, they're much more crowded than that because fire was not there to weed out all those little seedlings. And so they don't do as well if they're overcrowded, just like you and I don't do as well when we're overcrowded. So it's trying to get a responsible way, looking at responsible ways to get fire back into the ecosystem. And I remember a fire ecologist once years ago, I'd asked him, I said, well, is there ways we can mimic fire with a selective harvest? And he said, to a certain degree, but not entirely, because one of the things that the forest really needs is the charcoal, the after the burn.
The biochar.
After the burn, that has there needs to be some of that. So we do, we meaning society, we manage our forests through selective thinning. But there still is that fire element that is another management tool. And I like to point it out, I was on a very historical event back in 1982. I worked for the National Park Service in Glacier National Park, and we did a controlled burn in Glacier National Park. And that was very controversial. You can imagine, intentionally setting fire to a national park had never been done. But it was very successful. Nowadays, we don't have to do that because there's been, unfortunately, too many natural burns. Because they're more intense. If there hasn't been that periodic fire, when the fire comes, it's just way too intense. So that program, what is the start time on that, Naya?
That program takes place May 17th, Saturday, and it's at the Sandpoint Library in their big community room. And the program itself will start at 10, usually goes an hour and a half. But we also gather about 9:30. Again, the wonderful bakers from the Native Plant Society, there are treats and coffee and tea, and we like to socialize for a few minutes before we start the meeting. So May 17th at the Sandpoint Library, 9:30 or 10.
And that would also be a great place if you are someone who thinks you might want to be exploring a greater use of native plants in your landscape. That would be an opportunity to pick up the book.
The book.
Yes, that this native plant, we'll talk more about that, I believe, in a little bit.
Yes.
But yes, there's a book that this organization, Kinnickinnick Native Plant Society, has put together to assist people who want to use native plants. And that would be a great place to pick it up. It's also available at some local bookstores, et cetera.
That event will be very appropriate for what's happening in Idaho right now, that Governor Little just talked about, the thinning and what they're going to do to protect communities.
Right.
So,
well, and here in Sandpoint, so many of us live right in the urban forest interface. I live on a hill that's got a lot of trees.
Absolutely. And in June, what's coming up for the event?
Well, June is our annual meeting, and it's the last meeting of this before we start again in September. We don't meet in July or August because we're all busy out in the Arboretum and in our gardens, and you probably are too. So in June, we have our annual meeting, and we're meeting out at the University of Idaho's Organic Agricultural Center on North Boyer Road. So it's just past the Schweitzer Mountain Road turnoff as you're headed north, and it's a wonderful, wonderful area. And they have put in an organic test, or not organic, a native plant test garden, which we provided a little bit of funding for. They were the winners of our 2024 Lois Wythe grant. And so we're all going to go out and see what they've done and have our annual election of members, board members. It'll be a fun outing, and anybody who is interested to see that facility and to meet some of us, please join us.
And really, you shouldn't miss the opportunity to go out there. That is another gem of our community, is that,
right,
that apple orchard. Is,
and I'm not sure I mentioned the date. That's Saturday, June 21st.
Okay. And will there be any presentation about the installation of the garden, or is it just a come out and look and see sort of event?
I'm not sure.
Maybe Kyle would.
I'm sure they'll say a few words about it. Yeah,
that's an excellent suggestion. We will certainly let the powers that be know. I think that should be incorporated. Yes, yeah, it doesn't have to be lengthy, but brief.
That would be nice.
Yeah, yeah.
That's also your annual meeting.
Yeah, right. That's our annual meeting.
You'll be having that as well.
So we'll be voting on our board members, but that'll take about 10 minutes. So.
We talked about earlier, so purchasing natives, like you were talking about the how they're breeding natives differently or adding breeding with native plants. Would you call those natives the what you find in box stores and things? Like you go in there and see the redwood dogwood, would you call that a native redwood dogwood or...
I would.
Okay.
genus and species is going to be the same.
Okay.
Was the seed source for those plants local? No, it was not.
Okay.
At Cedar Mountain Perennials, that's one of the things. They do a lot of their plants from seed, and a lot of that seed is locally collected. And so that would be as true to being a native plant as is probably commercially available.
Okay.
An interesting note, I just finished it about a week ago here. We had a local homeowners association contact our organization, that the Homeowners Association wants to get more involved with using native plants. Could you put a little guide together? And so I did, because if you look at the book, you know, the book that we put out on native plants, there's hundreds of plants, lots of detail. Most of those plants are not available for purchase. And there is actually some guides in there about wild collecting and a responsible way to do that, if that's something. But so all this thing was, the little flyer I put together was just very short. These are plants that are native plants that are readily available at some local nurseries. And the other thing too, a lot of historically when people have been buying native plants, they've been small. That's just the way it's been. And that's not what the average homeowner wants. They
right.
want them bigger. So we are seeing that more and more. Instead of little, we call them 4-inch pots. Now you'll see 2-gallon pots, 5-gallon pots, so that you get trees and or shrubs that are much closer to a size you'd expect when you put it into your landscape, and you don't have to wait for it to grow up, as well as you don't have to worry about it getting lost. I've seen some native plantings that have been done, and they just quickly get overrun by grass or weeds or something else because they were these tiny little plants that was the only way you could get them as plugs for restoration. So there is more of that available.
Okay.
And you know, again, it's one of the, some people would say, no, those are not native plants. Mm-hmm. I'm more inclusive. if the genus and species is the same, then it's going to have most of the characteristics. And there is research that's been shown, like sometimes selected cultivars. They're being selected because they have an extra beautiful flower or leaf, or they don't get as big as the wild ones, which sometimes
yes.
people want. And sometimes there is chemistry that changes when that happens, and they may not be as beneficial to the food chain as we were talking about earlier.
Right.
When that happens.
Right.
But it's also, and I know Doug Talamy, who's one of the gurus of native planting, one of the things that he has said, if 75% of your landscape is native, it will function as a completely native habitat. When you were talking about if you want some of grandma's peonies and that sort of thing, yes, you don't have to be all or nothing. And every time you do add a native plant, you're adding something to the ecosystem that has a benefit.
That's a nice number to be able to understand, 75%. It gives us more folks who are maybe not as involved in native plants a good rule of thumb to think about. And if you don't mind, Julie, mm-hmm. this isn't on the outline, but I'd like to go back just for a minute to the ethics of harvesting native plants. Could we spend a couple of minutes so that listeners would hopefully not just rush out into the U.S. forest lands and start digging things, et cetera?
We could briefly, again. Yeah.
What is sort of the rule of thumb for that sort of behavior?
It's a tough one, if you will. I mean, when one is wild collecting for purposes such as food or medicinals, the rule has that I've heard in the past has been never harvest more than 10% of what you see in front of you. But if everybody did that, the resource would be very quickly depleted. Mm-hmm. In most places, that wild harvesting is probably not allowed. It's probably not a legal thing to do. Now, could you wild harvest seeds from those plants and then germinate mm-hmm. and grow your own? Yes, mm-hmm. that would be a very responsible way to do it. Mm-hmm. The other thing, too, with a lot of native plants, they, you know, we talked about the intricate relationships. They do not grow well alone. Quite often, they are grown in a symbiotic relationship with fungi, with other plants.
That kind of goes back to your 75% of the garden. They have to be, they're interconnected in ways we don't even understand.
Well, and that's a great example is huckleberries. People always say, do you sell huckleberry bushes? And I say, yes, but not mountain huckleberries. We sell Pacific Coast huckleberries because they don't require that symbiotic relationship. They don't taste as good. They don't put on as many berries. But if you want a beautiful little huckleberry bush, you can have one. But the native huckleberries, you try to pull them out of the woods and they die.
Yeah.
Because they have all these different relationships that they need. And at the old U of I research station there on Boyer, Dan Barney spent 30 years of his professional life trying to domesticate huckleberries with limited success. He was able to get some crossbreeds with other berries that were suitable for commercial use. But yeah, they going up and digging a plant, taking it home and planting it, very low success rate.
Yes, very low
success rate.
Very low.
Yeah.
Don't get your hopes up.
That's
Don't
right.
do it. That's right. Leave only footprints.
That's right. Or seeds. I like that.
Yes.
It'd be a fun experiment for folks.
For sure. For sure.
You do have to know a little bit about the seeds because a lot of seeds need specific treatments in order to germinate. Most commonly, the natives need a cold period. So if you collect the seeds, you might need to put them in your refrigerator for a couple of months and then plant them. And also fire, we were talking about fire. There are some plants that the seeds do not germinate until they've been gone through a fire. And so their seed collecting is a whole nother very specific science, actually, in getting them to grow.
All right, which brings us back to the plant sale. Go to the plant sale, folks.
Well,
yes.
I was just thinking, join Kinnickinnick Native Plant Society because all these questions and answers could be there or will soon be there, depending on what we're learning in science and everything. It's a wonderful organization. So let's go and let everybody know how to get in touch with you, highlight the dates, and give us your last little spiel for native plants.
Well, native plants are just a lot of fun, and it's something you can spend your lifetime learning about. And it's always changing because the environment is always changing. And so it's a growing and always interesting subject. But okay, so starting with our May program, come out to the library on the 17th, 9:30 or 10 o'clock if you just want to catch the program. Meet a few of us. We do have information about joining there. You can also pick up a copy of our landscape book, our plant North Idaho plant book. Then on June 7th, the plant sale. If you're at all interested in sticking a few natives into your yard or doing a whole design. And by the way, the book has a nice chapter on landscape design and telling you how to go about it and start with a plan. So the plant sale, June 7th on Saturday. Plan to spend the morning picking out plants with us and then go through the little museum. I think the gals who do the museum, the people who do the museum do a great job. It's beautifully displayed, and there's a lot of interesting information there. Then watch our website for announcement of events coming up in the summer. We do have the Tree Cookie Tuesdays for kids, and there will be other things announced on the website. That's www.nativeplantsociety.org, an easy one to remember, and we'll come right up. And our website is always updated with what's going on and where to be and what to do.
All right. And are there any breaks in the monthly programs? Do you take a summer break?
Yes.
We do. We do not have a program in June or July. July or August. Mm-hmm. And we do not have a December program. We have a members' holiday party. So, but we do 9 programs a year. They're always very interesting with knowledgeable people coming to talk to us. Occasionally, when the person is from out of town, we will do it over Zoom. We'll do a Zoom presentation at the library there. But they're wonderful programs.
They are. They are. I've been to a few of them this winter. They are terrific.
John? And while we don't have our normal programming going on during the summer, we do have traditionally a potluck gathering, just kind of a social gathering together. So come on that May 17th date, join the organization so that you know when that potluck is, because nobody likes to miss out on a good potluck.
No, I heard it's a very good potluck.
Well, actually, if you go to our website and put your name, give us your email address, we'll put you on a list of members and friends, and you will get notifications of all of our events. We don't send out a ton of emails, but every time something that is happening or something of real interest, we put it on out as an email.
Okay, that's great. And I'll just ask the two questions. You're not required necessarily to be a member of the Native Plant Society to attend the programs, etc., but it would sure be nice, and it's not very expensive. Can you let us know how much it is for an annual membership? We have an idea.
We have different categories, and they've recently changed, and I can't remember them all, but I think it ranges from about $25 or $30 up to whatever.
Yes.
And we love donations, and you can donate on our website. Like I said, I've said before, we are an all-volunteer organization. We do have one part-time paid employee. Each summer, we hire someone to work 4 mornings a week in the Arboretum and to kind of coordinate with our Arboretum team the events that they do there. And you know, weed and help keep the Arboretum in pristine shape. And we have several work parties a year, especially through the summer. We kind of do one a month or so, and members gather and work in the Arboretum. And that's fun, too. So
yeah, lovely place to spend a little time weeding. It's so nice. Because we have a bit of time, if you have just one more minute, guys, I think it would be nice if you could discuss the Lois Wythe scholarship.
Yes, the grant.
The grant. Mm-hmm. That's true. We do an, it's available. We offer it annually. It's $500. It is awarded to a project in Bonner County. It has to be in Bonner County that has some relationship to native plants. And we've done, and it doesn't always go to just a single project. Like a couple years ago, our grant went to the Kinnickinnick. The KLT, the Land Trust, Kinnickasoo Land Trust. Mm-hmm. They were doing a rewilding project at one of the schools, and we provided enough money to help pay for the signs to go in that project. And then we've done things as small as go to a graduate student who was doing a project, an inventory project, a plant inventory. So we've done a lot of different kinds of things. The application form is, we ask for applications early in the year, like from January through the end of February, I think the application is due, and the project needs to be completed within the year, and we like them to give us a final report. Depending on the project, if they want to come and present what they did at one of our spring meetings, that we love to have that mm-hmm. happen too. So it's available for anybody doing a project here in Bonner County. We've had school groups apply and mm-hmm. all kinds of different mm-hmm. things.
Right, a nice opportunity. It's great that you're able to do that.
Mm-hmm. A way to bring natives to the area.
Right, and increase interest. And,
Sure. Well, I think we've said everything that we can think of saying about native plants. We're here finishing our conversation with John Hastings and Robin Campbell with the Kinnickinnick Native Plant Society. Thank you so much, both of you, for being here this morning. Any final words?
Well, I want to encourage you to join us for activities, but I also want to encourage you, if you have never been or if you haven't been for a while, go to the Arboretum. Walk through, take your dog for a walk. It's just a wonderful place. Take a book, sit for a minute on one of the benches, or just enjoy the beauty of it.
Yes.
And it just gives you a feeling for what a wild community can be like. And, you know, then go out hiking and see if you can identify mm-hmm. the plants a little
mm-hmm.
better.
mm-hmm. And see this work of art of this group that has accomplished so much in the years you've been a organization.
Yep.
Well, thank you so much for the work you do and for coming in this morning.
Well, thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
Well, all right. Julie, you've picked another fun song. We're going to go to that, and then we may have time to announce a little bit of either KRFY or community events. So here comes Marvin Gaye with Mercy, Mercy Me, in parentheses, the ecology.
Yes.